Janmakarma Chime Divyam Evam Yo Vijitat Pataha Tyatva Deham Punara Janma Naiti Mam Eti Swarjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Purport by his divine grace, Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Lord's descent from his transcendental abode is already explained in the sixth verse. One who can understand the truth of the appearance of the personality of Godhead is already liberated from material bondage, and therefore he returns to the kingdom of God immediately after quitting this present material body. This human form of life is the rare and precious opportunity to solve the essential problems of birth, old age, disease, and death. These four material miseries are underlying every aspect of our life, and they are inevitable. By any material arrangement, we cannot avoid them. We can, at the best, postpone these miseries for another day. But as we see, as this age of Kali Yuga is proceeding, even this is becoming very difficult. The Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Padam padam yad vipadam natesha. We are living in a world where there is danger at every step. We do not know what the next moment will bring. In the time that we are living, wars appear to be imminent. Earth changes can restructure civilization as we know it. There is so many diseases that are being cultivated in societies due to karmic reactions, and so much crime, and just innumerable uncertainties that can come upon us at any moment of life. There is so much exploitation going on. As they say, the weak is the food for the strong. And who is in power? Who has the strength in the world today? It is a very unpleasant thought. So Krishna so kindly descends into this world to give us the message of spiritual truth, which could actually solve the problems of birth, old age, disease, and death. Because essentially, we are the eternal soul. We are an infinitesimal part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, or Krishna. As Krishna is such an Ananda Vigraha, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, as his planary expansion in the Jiva Tattva, we are also such an Ananda, eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Not just temporary happiness. The bliss that Krishna is speaking about, which is our eternal nature, is to be unlimitedly joyful, immersed in an ocean of divine love and peace, ecstasy. And to taste the sweetness of that ecstasy is the only real goal of life, and to share that ecstasy with others. How many people in society that you know or heard of today can honestly say that they are in ecstasy? People are somehow or other struggling for survival, at the best, whoever they may be, the rich, the poor, everyone is struggling for survival. And to just work like an ass, eat like a hog, mate like a pigeon, and struggle to make nice accommodations for these arrangements, that is not the goal of life. Having a nice family is good, providing that family is in the proper direction. Otherwise, the lower creatures have nice families too. And even in this human species, I have yet to see a family that is satisfied. There's always problems. Children have difficulties in their exams. Sometimes they go their own way. Sometimes they die. Sometimes they become criminals. So many problems. And even if everyone is pious and united, still there will be so many heartbreaking experiences, so many disappointments. And death is inevitable. Whenever it may come, we do not know. So the purpose of life is not simply to make these material arrangements for something that can never be. Real happiness. This human form of life is meant for self-realization. It is meant simply to remember who we really are and what our real nature is. Ignorance simply means forgetfulness. And this forgetfulness is the cause of all sufferings. We have forgotten what is Krishna. We have forgotten who are we. And we have forgotten how to serve the Lord with our heart and soul. And due to that forgetfulness, we are plunged in a dilemma of so many confusions and so many forms of bondage. And yet still, even after hearing this information, we are so anxious to try to solve the unsolvable problems through material manipulation. Therefore, Krishna spoke the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Arjuna was posed as the typical person within this material world. He was in a dilemma. He was forgetful of his real duties in life. And therefore, Krishna spoke these sacred teachings of the Gita for the upliftment and the purification of all humanity. And the great acharyas, many of them were sannyasis, many of them grihasthas, family people, but they taught us by their example and by their words and by their writings how to live in harmony with our own spiritual nature and be happy. Real happiness that is not subjected to everything going the way we want. In the material world, everything has to be just according to our necessities to be happy. If one thing goes wrong, misery. One little injury comes to you or your loved ones, one little problem that somebody else creates upon you, adiatmaka, miseries of your own body and mind, adibhotaka, miseries by other living beings, And adidaivaka, miseries due to too much rain, or too much snow, or too much heat, or too much cold, or the earthquakes that may come. A few days ago, I was on a jet airplane from Germany to Mumbai, and some people were in first class, and some people were in business class, and someone were crowded in economy class, and the airport was closed. So the airplane was circumambulating for hours and hours and hours Mumbai. And first, second, third class, everyone was frustrated. Everyone was miserable. And then there was, because of the storms, there was, what do they call it? Turbulence. Turbulence. And the turbulence was too much. And people were going, rawr. And people were asking for their vomit bags. First class, business class, economy class. The vomit bag is the same. And when it's turbulent, it's not that if you're first class, you say, well, I paid three times as much as back there. Why do I get the same turbulence? Same turbulence. Maybe worse, because you're more toward the front. And then the seatbelts go on, and it starts shaking, and everyone's thinking, the plane may crash. It actually came near to crashing, it seemed. First class, business class, economy class, no difference. Everyone had the same fear of crashing. So by our material arrangements and manipulation, essentially we're all in the same situation in this world. And then somehow or other, I was actually very happy. Devotees are different, unusual types of people, the way they think. Because while everyone was looking at their watches and looking for their vomit bags, I was thinking we're circumambulating Radha Gopinath temple. So everyone in the plane is making nice spiritual progress. And I was just remembering Radha Gopinathji, thinking this is a... We have so many various yatras of ways of... Sometimes we go on the boats to celebrate Radha Gopinath's glories. Sometimes we go to holy places to celebrate Radha Gopinath's glories. Sometimes we dance in the streets. So that night we were just circumambulating in the sky, 30,000 feet above sea level. It was quite an experience. And then when we landed, we found out so many floods. People, doesn't matter who you are, when the floods come and no vehicles work, you walk through the rain, up to your waist in water, getting soaked. Whether you're an executive in a big, big industry, or whether you are selling pan on the corner, doesn't matter. Everyone walks. And if you don't know how to swim, you don't know whether you will live. It is a very, very situation. Here in this great city of Bombay, so much fortune, so much wealth, so much power. But when the rains come, when the earthquake comes, what can we do? What arrangement? There's only one arrangement that can actually help us. And that is turning to Krishna. I remember a couple years ago when that terrible earthquake took place in Latur, Kilari area. It happened, if I remember right, it was just before 4 o'clock in the morning. And our temple is an old wooden temple, not very strong foundation. And as the earthquake was going on, the floor was trembling. And I was sleeping on the floor. It was going vroom, 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 vroom. And you could just feel. And doors were going, books were falling from the shelf. And I heard downstairs, our little orphan children, from the Lady Northcote Hindu Orphanage. About 35, 40 little boys from very deprived, poor areas, basic little children struggling. They were all loudly chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. I realized they're the wealthiest people in all of Mumbai. Because if this earthquake actually does hit, they're going to go back to Godhead. Everybody else, I don't know where they'll go. So Krishna descends to this world to reestablish the principles of religion, to annihilate the miscreants, and to protect and give pleasure to his devotees. Paritranaya saduna vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samstapanarathaya sambhavami juge juge. When Krishna appeared in Mathura on this very night, at the midnight hour, he appeared to Vasudeva and Devaki, who were in the darkness of a prison. But as soon as they saw the beauty of Krishna, who didn't appear like an ordinary child, he simply manifested himself from inside the womb to the outside of the womb, and he appeared before Vasudeva and Devaki in his beautiful form of Lord Vishnu. He had four arms holding the conch shell and the disc and the club and the lotus flower, and he was decorated with a beautiful golden crown and beautiful jewels, and he was wearing a dress that was as brilliant as lightning, and he was smiling upon them, giving his blessings. And Vasudeva and Devaki, even though they were in prison, they were in bliss. They were so happy. Actually, Kamsa was in prison. Kamsa was fearful, miserable, envious, proud, lusty, greedy. He was in the prison of his own mind and his own material conceptions. What happiness was there for Kamsa? He conquered the world. He was the king. He put his own father in prison, Ugrasena. He got everything he could want. He was sitting on the throne. All the other armies throughout the world practically were his subjects, ready to do anything he ordered. Great strength. He had so much. He had the power of 10,000 elephants. And he had mystic cities where he could perform so many miracles. What could a person want more materially? But in order to get it, he put his father, his sister, and his brother-in-law in prison. But Vasudeva and Devaki, they were in transcendental bliss. They were seeing the Lord face to face. And Kamsa was suffering. Externally, so many nice arrangements, but he was fearful of death. He was fearful of losing his wealth, his power, and his position. He had insatiable greed and lust, which was burning like fire, and however much he gave it, it just grew bigger and burned hotter. And inside, he was just burning up. Is that freedom? He was the prisoner of his own material attachments. So Krishna appeared in this wonderful form in the prison to give happiness to his devotees. And after Vasudeva and Devaki offered their beautiful prayers to him,
he accepted the form of a little baby. The most beautiful, charming, sweet baby, upon whose very sight melted one's heart with ecstatic love. Upon whose glance relieved one of all one's previous sins. This was Krishna. And by his direction, Vasudeva carried Krishna across the Jamuna to Gokul. And it was a very difficult task. The weather was something like last Friday night in Mumbai. There were torrents of rain, and there was floods, and the river Jamuna was so flooded with such very, very fast current. And Vasudeva was asked to walk all the way through, and he was carrying Krishna. He didn't have umbrella, but he was willing to do it. He did not complain. Krishna, you're asking me to take you to Gokul tonight? It's raining out. How do you expect me? And there's no boats at this hour of the night. It's midnight. He had faith that if I just do the will of Krishna, my life is perfect. Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana pariyupashade tesham nitya yuktamam yogakshemam baham yaham. If a devotee just tries his or her best to perform service, Krishna will preserve what we have and carry what we lack. Krishna told Arjuna, you fight this battle. You just serve me to your capacity, whoever you may be. And if you are victory or failure, defeat, it doesn't matter, because pleasing me is the goal of life. When I am pleased, I will remove the darkness of ignorance and I will elevate you to the blissful state of divine consciousness. So a devotee simply is not worried about victory or defeat, success or failure, honor or dishonor. A devotee is simply concerned with pleasing Krishna, knowing that that is the ultimate perfection of all our soul's desires. Krishna can do anything. He is the all-pervading Paramatma. He is the creator, maintainer, and destroyer of everything that exists. If he wants us to succeed, who can stop us? Our Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, in 1972, when there was only a few hundred devotees of the Hare Krishna movement, he said, if you devotees only had complete faith that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we could take over the whole world and make it Krishna conscious in a period of only 18 days. Why not? Why can Krishna not do anything? But we must have that willingness. We must have that faith that if I please Krishna, my life is successful. So Vasudeva, he took little baby Krishna, just born. It is explained, Mother Yashoda very quickly fed her the milk from her breast just before sending him off to his journey to Gokul to make sure he would not be hungry. Because although they knew he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they just saw him in his four-armed form. When they saw the charm of this beautiful swarup of a baby, they forgot all this Supreme Godhead. Devaki was thinking, he is my baby, he is my child. Let me feed him and make him well nourished for his trip. And Vasudeva went out into the thunder and lightning and storming rains and floods. But because he was willing to perform this service for the Lord, Anantashesha appeared like an umbrella so that not a drop of rain could touch Krishna or Vasudeva. And the river Jamuna made passage so Vasudeva could cross. And very safely he came to Gokul. And as per Krishna's instruction, he exchanged his own little baby child for that of Yashoda, who was a little girl who was none other than Yogamaya herself. And Vasudeva brought the baby child back. And when he entered back into the prison cell, everyone woke up. And the baby started crying. Kamsa was notified. He came running down, took the child, was ready to smash him against a rock to her death. But the child very gracefully came out of Kamsa's hand, entered into the air, and revealed her true form of Durga, sitting on her lion with all of her weapons. She said to Kamsa, "You are a great fool. The child who was meant to kill you is already born in another place. Why you are giving so much suffering to your own sister?" And she disappeared. Kamsa understood that he would meet his destiny. But he was fighting so hard to avoid it. Kamsa represents everyone in this world. We all have our destiny. We all have our lot of suffering that we have to go through due to our previous karmas. And we're trying to make so many arrangements to fight against it and change it, but it is not possible. But if you surrender to Krishna, he will protect you. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishami masucha. Krishna says, abandon all other varieties of duty, religion. Just surrender to me. I shall protect you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. But when it comes to surrendering to Krishna, even religious people who have some amount of faith, they make it a last priority or a lower priority in life. And this is a great misfortune. Because Krishna says that as you approach him, he will reveal himself accordingly. If you make Krishna a low priority in life, then he will make giving you his mercy a low priority in his life. It's as simple as that. If you have other concerns in life more important than the service of Krishna, then however nice and pious you may think you are, he will proportionately make you a lower concern for giving you his mercy and his love. If you make the service of the Lord the first priority, Krishna will make you the first priority to give you his mercy. And that is the mercy that will actually bring us real joy, real protection, and real fulfillment in the pursuit of our life. So Krishna has come with this message. He has not come to teach people to be half-hearted religious aspirants. He has come to teach us how to become pure, how to truly direct every aspect of our life in his service. And it is not a difficult thing. When Krishna was living in Gokul, a fruit vendor came and she called out, "Does anyone wish to buy some fruits? I have very nice fruits." So Krishna, he wanted to enjoy these fruits. So he picked up some little grains, and these grains were falling from his little fingers. At this age, Krishna just recently learned how to walk. Can you imagine God learning how to walk? Krishna says, I am the ability in man. It only is only by his power that anyone can walk. But he learns how to walk just to give pleasure to his devotees. So he stumbled and ran and came to the lady and said, here are my grains. Give me some fruit. And few grains remained in his hand, nothing of any value. But his beauty charmed her so much that she took as many fruits of the best quality she had and filled his arms. And she made him happy. Krishna doesn't need fruits. All the trees in the world, the fruits are growing by his direction. In Vaikuntha, there are fruits that are so delicious. They are filled with immortal nectar. Does he need the fruits of this world? But the fact that she just gave him the best she had for his pleasure, he was so happy. And we can understand that a simple fruit vendor is not usually a very wealthy person. She was probably taking a big loss by giving her his best fruit, her best fruits and as much as can. From a business point of view, she was not very intelligent, materially. But she was taking a big loss. But she did it for Krishna, to please him. And he was happy. And when Krishna is happy, our life is perfect. She turned around and she looked in her basket, and all of her fruits were transformed into the most precious celestial jewels. Her basket was overflowing with jewels. Gold, silver, rubies, diamonds, emeralds. And Rupa Goswami explains how whatever we give to Krishna, we are not the loser, but we are gaining millions and millions of times. This simple lady who was a fruit vendor, she attained the treasure of Krishna prema, love of God. The fruits in her basket were actually symbolic that she attained the greatest treasure in life, immortality beyond birth and death, ecstatic bliss. That is the result of Krishna consciousness. So let us make Krishna our first priority in life. Let us focus and centralize every aspect of our life in a mood of service rather than a mood of manipulation. There are hundreds and thousands of reasons, justifications, and excuses why to put Krishna second or third in our life. That is Maya. She is working through so many agencies to give us an excuse, to give us a reason, to make other priorities. But there's one excuse to make Krishna first, and that is, it is Krishna's will. And it is the very longing of our soul to do. We should not cheat our own soul. We should give charity to our soul and give charity to the souls of others. Srila Prabhupada, when he came to Mumbai, he knew people were very, very materialistic here and very much thinking of money and politics and whatever else. He left Mumbai with, I believe it was 35 rupees, something? 35 rupees in those, it was equal to about a few dollars. And he went across the ocean on a cargo ship, not a beautiful ocean liner like the Queen Elizabeth. He went on a cargo ship. And when he went to New York, there's Butler, Pennsylvania. He was in a place where he was just a guest in someone's house. And then in the Bowery in New York, at times he was living with materialistic people. They had just a one-room flat, just one room, no separate rooms. And they just hung a little cloth, like a sheet, on one little corner. And he slept in that little corner of the room. And they were doing all illicit kinds of activities. And the woman didn't even like him. She considered him a threat to her existence. The man was favorable and the woman totally disliked him and even harassed him. But he had nowhere else to go. He would sleep on the floor. When he did his translation, he just had his little trunk, little suitcase he would write on. He did not know where his next meal would come from. And shortly after, he came to Mumbai and he built this big, beautiful marble temple in Juhu. And he had a big, beautiful temple in New York and in London and in Sydney and in Chicago and in Hamburg and in Paris. Prabhupada explained one day to big business people in Mumbai, he said, our devotees in our movement are spending up to 20 lakhs a day and making more than that. And I left with nothing, but I tried to please Krishna. I put Krishna's priority first, and look. Big business people, when they go to other places, they have to go to some Oberoi Hotel or Taj Mahal Hotel or Holiday Inn or Sheraton Hotel, and you check in and nobody likes you. They just, out of respect, they say, oh, sir, let me carry your bag, but give me a tip of $5. No love. Somehow or other, you go to buy your meal from a restaurant and everyone's just, they just want your money, that's all. Any politeness, any niceness is only because that's the best way to grab your money. That's all. No love. But Srila Prabhupada, any place in the world, he had 108 centers, anywhere in the world, there were hundreds of devotees at the airport waiting for him, chanting, Jai Prabhupada! And they had beautiful, the best cars they could get, and they took him, and when he'd come to the temples, they'd have beautiful arrangements, and devotees would cook prasad with such love and devotion, and there were hundreds of people just practically fighting to get to do something for Prabhupada. Let me carry his bag. I remember when Prabhupada would come to the temple, you had to make work. Everyone wanted to do so many things. You can give him the garland. You can take off his shoes. And you can wash his feet. And you can open the door from the car when he comes. And any little thing everyone was so excited to do. But Prabhupada, he didn't care for any of these things. He didn't care for money. He didn't care for people serving him. He just cared to serve all these people, to give his life for all these people. But in response, they wanted to give their life for him. And what did he do? He made Krishna the priority of his life. Was he the loser on any level? Absolutely not. I'm trying to serve Srila Prabhupada in whatever little way I can. And I'll say, I haven't had a job since a long time. And I always have prasad. Where it comes from, I don't know. Usually there's so many invitations. We turn down 99 invitations and may accept one. Where are devotees? If you just have your faith in Krishna, Krishna is great. Krishna always protects his devotees. And there are so many wonderful grihasthas in our movement whose lives are filled with happiness because they never give up their devotion to Krishna. So real happiness, real purpose and fulfillment in life comes from inviting Krishna to perform his Janmashtami Leela in our hearts. When Krishna appears in our hearts, all ignorance, which is the cause of all suffering, will be dispelled. And to invite Krishna into our hearts, we have to want him more than anything else in creation. If you love Krishna, you will have the deepest, greatest, most practical love for your family members and all living beings. If you do not love Krishna, you do not really know how to truly love anything or anyone. Because real love is on the platform of the reality of the soul, not the flickering emotions and conceptions of the mind. Krishna has descended in this age of Kali Yuga in his name. If we take the name of Krishna in our heart, Krishna will reveal himself. But we have to learn to chant the name of Krishna in a true spirit of humility and dedication. Srila Prabhupada gave us a simple formula. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And Krishna will reveal himself through the beautiful sound of his name according to how we approach the name. We should chant regularly, every day. It may take time to purify our heart, but even if it is our whole life, that is not much time at all, considering through perhaps 8,400,000 births we have been forgetful of the Lord. We can perfect our consciousness in this one life if we just learned to take the name of Krishna sincerely. And to associate with sincere devotees is a very, very important factor. Because the association of devotees in a mood of serving and befriending, developing love and trust amongst the devotees, and hearing from them, hearing the Gita, hearing the Bhagavad, it promotes faith. It promotes determination and enthusiasm to live a life in such a way that Krishna will descend through his name to give us a real success in our human existence. The happiness of divine love. This is what Srila Prabhupada gave us. The simple instruction. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. I would like to thank you very much. Thank you.